Hi, this is Dr. William Renner. Thank you for joining us on this evidence-based medicine on wellness. Today I'm with Dr. Alan Sapte, world-renowned gastroenterologist and expert in nutrition, author of multiple articles. We're going to talk about the gut-brain axis. Can bacteria influence dementia and mood? Alan, can gut bacteria really influence the brain?
Yeah, it's kind of strange to think your poop could be so powerful. Other than the smell, none of us ever thought there was anything really powerful about our poop. So basically, is can dietary changes, can our bacterial changes protect our brain and health as we age? You know, does it make a difference? Are we really talking about things such as Alzheimer's disease related to the bacteria in our colon? There's some recent studies that have come out, which really give us, you know, some insight into this. There was a review looking at the makeup of our gut microbiome can improve brain health. It's focused on probiotics, prebiotics, dietary changes we discussed in the last podcast, and even fecal microbial transplants, which I've done, but done for other reasons. And some of these authors concluded that improving the gut microbiome could really slow, Bill, any microcognitive decline, slow your cognitive decline and improve your brain health. So how do they do that? They reduce inflammation in the brain. They alter the neurotransmitters, some of the bad ones that are signaling the brain. And they increase levels of microbial metabolites that actually get to our brain. So nutrition in our diet is really important.
So it sounds like the microbiome could actually be connected to Alzheimer's or dementia. Is that correct?
Cognitive impairment, dementia, numerous different diseases. We've ignored this. One of our most potent drugs may be things that improve our microbiome. You know, we have to take things out of our environment to improve our microbiome. And we'll talk about, you know, one of our theories about why we're seeing an increase in colon cancer. It relates to what we're doing to our microbiome by our environmental changes that have occurred since we were kids.
So we talked about inflammation of the brain. How does the gut bacteria affect that?
So these little metabolites that we create, these bacteria are just not sitting there. They are biologically active organisms, and they create metabolites that get into our bloodstream, get to our brain. Some of them are transmitted by nerves that get there, and they can cause, the bad ones can cause neuroinflammation, or chronic low-grade inflammation we talked about in the brain. And they do that by activating these cells within our brains, or the microglia, and other ways. So we really want to try to improve this and decrease the cytokines or the inflammatory substances in our brain.
So these gut bacteria can actually influence whether you have depression or if you have anxiety?
Potentially, yes. I mean, what do we prescribe? Antidepressants, psychotherapy. How many people describe improving your poop when you're depressed? Those are things that we're going to be looking at in the future. Is, you know, not just are you depressed or are you anxious, but we need to discuss you as a whole. Do you spray your house for pesticides? What do you cook with? Do you have plastic consumption? You know, do you have other exposures that affect the microbiome? Are you taking antibiotics indiscriminately? Or is your doctor prescribing them indiscriminately? More like that. As we age, our cognitive abilities sometimes tend to slow. However, some people, those declines are faster than other people. And those cognitive declines, you know, eventually reach the stage where we call it dementia. And so we're looking at lifestyle interventions that might ease the burden. And there's a lot of lifestyle interventions. You know, probiotics, which are live bacteria that you're consuming. Most people say, well, I don't want to consume a whole mouthful of live bacteria and large amounts. They may have significant health benefits. Overall evidence is store-bought probiotics is fairly weak because a lot of those end up being dead by the time you consume them. So, but we're looking at different things. We have identical twin studies in regards to those too.
So the gut, so these micro, these bacteria in the gut actually produce neurotransmitters?
Yes. You know, these quite a few, it's not, so they're metabolically active substances that are, and they do reach the blood-brain barrier, and they do cross the blood-brain barrier, and these likely work through multiple pathways. You know, so yes, if you have, if you're producing the wrong kinds of neurotransmitters, then you have a problem. So, you know, those are the kind of things we need to improve upon.
All right. So neurotransmitters like serotonin, do they affect serotonin levels?
They don't directly affect serotonin levels. You know, they, but they affect other things that act like serotonin, but not serotonin specifically. But it may. I mean, every day we find out more information.
So you think probiotics may be able to improve our cognition?
Well, I will never say one thing is going to improve your cognition, Bill. Dietary interventions, such as a Mediterranean diet, omega-3s, other things, may improve along with probiotics or symbiotics. Improving the diversity of the gut microbiome, you know, which is a measure of microbial health. So we want a diverse set of organisms. So we want fecal microbial transplants, maybe something in a pill form in our future. So they've already started in a review, fecal microbial transplants are associated with more rapid change in gut microorganisms. So more so than probiotics. So I think,
so you mentioned symbiotics. What are symbiotics?
So symbiotics may improve verbal fluency and executive function in people. Symbiotics, probiotics are actually live organisms. Symbiotics, similar or symbiotic type things work in a similar fashion. So things that we can create in the laboratory. But I think you start with dietary interventions. Feed the good bacteria you got and they're going to grow. And average person in the United States consumes less than 5 to 10 grams of dietary fiber. I eat 50 to 100 grams of dietary fiber every day for the last 40 years, almost every single day, and not by supplements, by whole foods, by legumes and beans and whole wheat pastas. And it's not that difficult. Peanuts and cashews and pistachios for breakfast, so not that difficult to do.
Why does the Mediterranean diet seem to improve brain benefits?
Well, there's a bunch of things in the Mediterranean diet that are really good for you. They have omega-3s. So there's two different fatty acids. Well, there's a lot of fatty acids, but the omega-3s, the main ones, not the precursor of alpha-linolenic acid, which is what I take, which is, converts over to EPA and DHA, DHA being the omega-3 that's good for your brain. Their diet's high in omega-3s. They have a diet high in fiber. They have a diet high in these polyphenols and anthocyanins and other things that are really good for your brain. So they have a very colorful diet that has all those things. So their diet works through multiple pathways. They have better insulin sensitivity. They have microbial diversity, meaning more diverse bacteria. They have less inflammation on people on that diet. They have more omega-3s in the fiber that I mentioned, and they have more of these, you know, phytochemicals such as anthocyanins and polyphenols than we have in our average American diet.
Fecal microbacterial transplantation, what is that?
Sounds gross, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does.
Well, taking somebody else's poop and putting it in you. you go, no, you're not. So FMT, or fecal microbial transplant, is something we've done for a long time for refractory cases of something called Clostridium difficile colitis, which is a bacteria that releases a toxin that's dangerous for the colon itself. So it causes a rip-roaring colitis in some patients, and sometimes it's very difficult to cure. So how do we cure it in the patients that we can't cure? By using another antibiotic. The problem is antibiotics cause it, and then we use an antibiotic to try to get rid of it. So we're going, well, really, if we put the good bacteria back in by putting poop that's diverse in bacteria, so we have pre-screened individuals that we buy the poop from, and we put that poop inside you, Bill. I'm not going to do that right now. You know, that actually is very beneficial. So what we're looking at is the people with cardiovascular disease, dementia, autoimmune diseases have less of this diversity. And, you know, so FMT is not easily accessible to most patients. It's not used for many things. It's not approved for many things. So it's just in the research realm right now of fecal microbial transplant. And we're working on oral therapies where you encapsulate it rather than having to put a colonoscope in and inject the bacteria.
Yeah, that sounds preferable to me.
Yes, and to me too.
I've seen the colonoscope. All right, Alan, that was a great discussion. We've got, I know you have a lot more to talk about in the microbiome. Next, I want to hear on our next podcast, let's talk about the gut-heart connection.
Sounds good, Bill. Go have an apple.